Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you're all going to study your Bible. Huh? Amen. Hmm? You know, glory be to God. Every new thing, God begins to do amongst his people. Hmm? Not really new, things which are already in the word, but when he brings out, he begins to emphasize something. Like right now, in this country, it is undeniable that God is emphasizing the prophetic. Yeah. Hmm? Now, the prophetic, majorly, it is prophecies, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, dreams, visions, all those things. Now, anytime when something is being emphasized, there is a danger of people, like in Uganda, the slang, people okuitao. You understand? And they suffer shipwreck. Glory be to God. Now, not many prophets, but the truth of the matter is, you can't run away from studying the word. You understand? You cannot just prophecy, Baba, vision, dream, and then say this. You say, as long as I know what God told me, I know what God, when something else comes, then you look forward, something else, what else, then, and you neglect the word. Amen? Now, when someone says something like what I'm saying now, people say I'm trying to what? To bash the prophetic. But if there's anyone who believes in the prophetic, it's me. You know what I mean? However, there are these dangers. There are these dangers. People what? Then 20 years later, then the word movement starts. Then people come back to the word. The word, But what God wants is a balance. You see, what God did in the past, he's now not saying that it is hope, it is fake. We leave it alone now, just go dreams, why? Where's the prophet? You understand? He's not saying that. Embrace this, but as you what? You see, and now this is one of the signs of maturity, actually. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we should grow up into the measure of the what?
Fullness of the
MSF. The measure or the stature or the fullness of Christ. Then it says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro. Today, the prophetic, then you go. Then now the word, then, tossed to and fro. Now, all these things are right. But you see, you're a babe, you're being tossed to and fro. Maturity, you're stable. You know all these things are good. So now you find a balance by the Spirit where you embrace all of them, and they work for you. Do you understand? Amen? Now, that is happening to the prophetic. And you guys, don't be careful. It's happening. Now, it's also happening. One of the things the Lord is emphasizing in this day, the other thing is the grace of God. It is undeniable. God is emphasizing that. Amen? However, amen, there are people again, and others, they are continuing to what? To quit away. You understand? The grace of God, it's a foundation. You cannot really know God, you cannot really understand the Bible, unless you understand the foundational issue of what? The grace of God. Amen? Prior to that, it was faith. What people call the faith movement. Now, guys are saying stupid things, like faith is not in the Bible. In fact, the guys hate Kenneth. At one time, they loved Kenneth Hagin. They loved Kenneth Copeland. They loved all these chaps. Right now, they are saying those guys misled us. That is stupid. You get saved by faith. Do you understand? So how can you say faith is fake? You receive by faith. You please God by faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, so how can you say that everyone, all the time, everything they say, there should be the word grace in it? You know, I know guys, pastors, some of them, you know, they went, they had books of Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. They went and they threw out all of those books. See, those guys misled us. However, you don't see where now this grace, the perverted one, where it is what? Which good place it is taking them to. You know, most of them, man, their lives are miserable. It's not working. Glory be to God, because it doesn't work alone. Do you understand? So you guys, be very careful. Be very careful. You know, by the way, everything, almost everything in the Bible, there is something that has to balance it. Everything. But the problem is when someone stands up and gives someone like a balance to it, then he's persecuted. But the other ones who think that their thing is the only thing in the Bible. For example, there is this thing called what, the man of God. The man of God. And it's true, the man of God has to be blessed. Man, you know, impartation, what, all the things. But now, the danger is emphasizing the man of God doctrine, you know, higher than God. You know, when now it all looks like you can't get anything from God unless you are in association with a man of God. Do you understand? Now, this is a danger. And you see people, phew, you know, I don't know whether I was here or somewhere. I don't know where I was. And then I said that there's a certain man of God that I love and what, you know. But as I was trying to say something, you know, with a pure heart, you know, a pure heart, just making a point. And I said that that man of God is not God. Apparently, Someone was offended because I said a certain man of God is not God. Someone was offended. Now, that is a sign of immaturity. You know, a certain man of God is not God. Now, again, the motive, it was a pure heart. They're just making a statement. Paul the Apostle wasn't God. Do you understand? Enoch wasn't God. You know, now if I say, why would you offer? You would be, yeah, right. Because it's true. Someone was offended. Now, that is a sign of someone, I say, oh. They themselves know that no human being is God. They know it. But for some reason, you see, what is happening, or what happens every now and again, is we tend to do things which the Catholic Church has also done. I'm telling you, the Catholic Church, you know, the Pope is a vicar of Christ. You can't go God without, you know, the Pope, the vicar of Christ. What he says is true, infallible, you know what I mean? Pentecostals, we are doing the same thing. You can't get nothing and then this is a man of God. You understand? Now, there are some things where God, in his design of things, has decided to use that channel, you know, why, I don't know. But, you know, and he will tell you that if you want to get, you know what I mean. But you can go to God yourself. You understand? These are the things Martin Luther fought against. However, you know, again, the man of God, whatever, it's true. However, there is a balance. Do you understand? You guys, you need to work with sense in your heads. Otherwise, you're going to be Roman Catholics. When you have some guy, you really don't call him the vicar of Christ, but in your heart and in your head, he is. I'm telling you, these things are dangerous. You know, are dangerous. And now I have said this, there's someone who's now thinking stuff. I'm saying, you know, now those are yours. Glory be to God. Amen. However, God is cheering me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But please, now, what will help you, you know, not to go to either, like, extremes, is spending time in the Word. Because as you're there getting offended that Moses said so and so is not God, you find a scripture which says God is God, you know. Then it will what? Hey. Do you understand? It will, the word of God will keep you in balance. Amen. You guys, please be steady, you know. Move steady, you know. Tell me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There is nothing new under the sun. All these major errors beginning to happen, what? They happened in the past. You know, however people think, they say, why this generation, this generation, man, you know. Glory be to God. So, guys, be what? Move steady. But one of the key things that will help you to remain on track, to remain in the middle of the road, is the what? The word. This word of God. Can you imagine? Anyway, these things are happening. And you watch people and, you know, you some of them, in fact, those who need the most help can't even be helped. Because they are Catholics. Pentecostal Catholics. They can't be helped. You, if you dare, in fact, some of them are, it's, anyway, God is good. Hallelujah. God is very good. God is what? Some better study, you know? Don't be shoot, you know? You know, I was telling someone that the children of God are very interesting. Very, who was I telling? Yeah, there's someone here. You know, at one time, they are celebrating you. Today, celebrating you. You see, I'm beginning to learn. I'm beginning to learn that this whole thing is an emotional state. When someone is happy with you, you understand? Everything you say is right, you know? Everything you do, everything you say is right. When you understand? When you're not like an emotional high, you're in love, you know, you're hyper, you know? Now, should that something happen as you, you will say the same thing you said the other time when everything was right, everything was cozy, you know? And then it will be what? I'm telling you, you know, human beings are very interesting. I was telling someone, now, for example, let's say someone like Copeland. Let's say you're friends with Copeland. Okay, you attend his church, Copeland. You know, then God blesses him with a very nice car. Very nice car. Now, when you're Copeland, you say, wow, a car, wow, a man of God, blah, blah, you know. Now, should something happen, and then you're more, you know, somehow, you know, now even that car used to celebrate, you say the guy ate our money, what? All the money was telling us to give, what, you know, So now all of a sudden you twist things, Now I realize this is how human beings, unfortunately, like operate, You know, And so, well, the solution is for them to grow up. When you grow up, you be stable. Whether you've fallen out with someone or not, you still say, yeah, he blessed him with that car. You know, now, you know, you watch, any of these things are strange. Today you're celebrating Prophet Elvis, but I can assure you, tomorrow something, then everything that we said yesterday that you are celebrating, it was your status on WhatsApp, all of a sudden now, it will be wrong. You know, again, that is a sign of unstable, you know, people have to grow up. So what you have to tell them is to get in the word. Get in the what? In the word. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now, I wasn't around last Sunday, but previously, the last two Sundays, we were talking about things to do with the house of God, you know, seeking his face. Psalms 27, verse 1 and 8, you know, one thing, you know, have I desired the Lord, that which you are seeking is what? the face of the Lord, you know, to behold his beauty, you know, and to inquire in his temple, amen. And we say this is what LAT, we should be about, amen. And what we want is really this place, you know, us, the children of God, to be the habitation of God in ever-increasing measures. You understand? Now, I'm not talking about this. This is a hotel. This is a room we rent. This room is not the church. We are the church. You know, we are the temples of God. Individually, you're the temple, but also corporately, you're the temple of God. He dwells in you. Amen? He does what? He dwells in you. So that is what our desire is. You know, however, you remember, you see, God's desire has always been to dwell with man, to fellowship with man. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8, it says that, and they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So here, you see, God came in the cool of the day. I won't ask you when is the cool of the day. Amen. Glory be to God. But anyway, this just shows that God used to come. He used to come to fellowship with his people. However, they sinned, you know, and that was, you know, hindered. You understand? But God's original intent has never changed. He desires to dwell with man. Amen? It has never changed. That's why when he told Moses in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, he told him that, let the people make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That he may do what? Dwell among them. God loves to dwell with his people. Amen? Hallelujah. So Moses did that. He made the ark, you know. And that ark later was put in the temple of Solomon. Again, what at that time was the house of God. You know, it was the house of God because his presence, by virtue of the ark of the covenant, was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Amen? You know all those things. Basics, before you quit a whole man. Man, these things, very interesting stuff. Hallelujah. Yeah, again, the solution is to keep in the word. I'm telling you, keep in the word. Who used to say that? Keep in the word. Who is that? Stick to the word. Who was that? Yeah, there's obvious, but there's also someone. Hallelujah. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. The second bit says, for you, all of you are here, if you're saved, you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Amen? You know, you are the temple of God. God dwells in you. He walks in you. He is your God. You know, Amen? However, what we desire is for this to be in increasing measures. You know, just like we saw, we talked one time, you know, there was the temple, there was the outer court, then there was the holy place, then there was the Holy of Holies. Kind of what John was talking about, you know, Amen? Hallelujah. So now our desire is to be Holy of Holies people. You understand? Where we are, you know, at any particular time, we're experiencing the greatest presence of God, you know, amongst all people. You know, like Moses, the only thing that should distinguish us from the rest of the people should be the presence of God. You remember? Exodus what? You guys spend time in the Word. You know, Moses said, no, don't send us from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, we ain't leaving this place. Then he says that, what will distinguish us from the rest of the people? You know, what? You know, Remember, this is a crowd that had gold. It was laden with gold. They had cattle. They were prosperous. You know, But Moses said, okay, we have all these things, but one thing we need, you know, one thing, wealth shouldn't distinguish us from the rest. You know, it should be your presence. So please come with us. Let your presence go with us. You know, And then God said, Moses, you're sensible, You know, You're sensible. I'll come with you. Amen? That's what God said. You understand, If you know the word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, we saw also that, that the signs are here, that God now, He dwells with us, L.A.T. L.A.T., not this hotel, L.A.T., you, us, corporately, we are the temple, we are the house of God. Amen? You remember in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was leaving his, was fleeing from his brother. His brother who? Glory be to God. Anyway, hallelujah. So anyway, he comes, he gets a place, he sleeps, and then he gets a dream, when he saw a ladder, with angels of God ascending and descending. Not descending and ascending. Ascending and what? We're descending, And he saw the Lord at the top of the mountain. And so when he wakes up, what does it say? When he wakes up, Genesis chapter 28, verse 16 and 17, it says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this, because you remember there was a ladder, which, now, that just shows you one of the things that this story is to teach us, is that, you should get to a level where you believe that God speaks in dreams, that God appears in dreams. You know, Jacob had access to heaven in a dream. In a dream. Amen. In a dream, just like Solomon, after he had sacrificed a thousand battles, the Bible says God appeared to him in a dream. Hallelujah. In a dream. Amen. These days I have dreams, and I don't know what has happened to me. Either I'm hanging around with you, but I have dreams and I have a lot of unbelief. I don't know whether they are from God or I don't know. Like this morning, I had one. I had one where there's a certain man of God who was telling me, he got to know about L.A.T., that it is small, and told me, I should come and visit you guys before you grow big. Now, I don't know where that dream was from. I don't know. That's why I even can't tell you the guy, because you might start waiting for him, Anyway, but God communicates in dreams. Very often he does. Hallelujah. So anyway, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, John had a dream when he saw a ladder going up to heaven in L.A.T. A ladder. And according to this story, Jacob, where the ladder was, angels of God ascending and descending, he said, this is the house of God. Amen. So John saw that dream, that dream, and he saw a ladder going up to heaven, and it was in L.A.T. That to me means we are the house of God. Yeah. I'm not talking about this hotel. I'm talking about us. We are his dwelling place. Glory be to God. Amen. The following day, actually, after his dream, Judith was here, her sister, and as we worship, she saw a ladder. She didn't know about John's dream. She saw a ladder going up to heaven, and it was being climbed. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, to me, that means we are the house of God. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 Now, like I say, that is the greatest CV you can ever have. God considering you his house. God saying that my presence is with you. It is in that place. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 9, it says that you also, your neighbor, as living stones, living stones. Some months ago, I don't know whether it was this year or last year, I was in a kafunda at night. I usually walk out of the house when there's a big game, you know. Walk out of the house and go some kashedi place for soccer. I don't know when I'll stop what we're doing that, but some of the greatest things that you hear them in those good places. Now, it's a long time since I got a taxi. But I know I'm missing a lot. I'm telling you, man, taxis, there's info, man. Things you won't hear in your emails, your, you know, guys, now these are real Ugandans. When I inch, don't you guys who stay in Kololo, you know, these are now real Ugandans, you know, who vote. You guys don't vote. The real guys who vote, when they're talking about issues, man, in their own way, awesome stuff. So I miss. Hey, I don't know whether one of these days I should what? Hey, hallelujah. By the way, I was telling someone that one of these days, I'm going to get leave. You know, you guys have workplaces, and you get leave. One of these days, I'm also going to get leave of 2 weeks, and I sign up for Uber. You know this Uber thing? Honestly, you know, and I get the experience. You know, I'm very serious. I'm going to do it. But I might not. But there's someone who discouraged me, say, Pastor, no. I was like, why? You know, I mean, just imagine, do Uber watch when you reach out, then a Harrier comes, SC, you understand? Man, you blow for Uber. Say, Uber, you guys, Uber is great. The cars are nice, you know. Then you try it another day, then they'll send you a UBK, what? Anyway. Whatever. So I was in a kafunda. Then there was a guy I was with. So, you know, football, you know. Then he said, my inja abadechi. Yeah, in my head, I'm like, nah. But you can't ask a guy, what is it? What do you. But so the game goes on, but you still think about the mind. Then later it occurred to me that, there was a guy called Stones. You know, I kept inquiring of God. This mind, you know. Then God gave me. I saw a guy with the name Stones. So, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 9. It says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Amen? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're living stones. Amen? Hallelujah. And you're being built up a spiritual house. You know? A holy priesthood. Amen? To do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So now, as a house of God, as a lady, there are spiritual sacrifices that are required of us. Do you understand? You know, and especially since we're, the Bible says we're a royal priesthood, a holy, you saw a priest offer sacrifices. You know, so now, we have to offer sacrifices continually unto God. Hallelujah. Now, one of the sacrifices we should continually offer unto God is in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. you may proclaim the what? The praises. That is one of the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifices we are supposed to give to God. To proclaim the what? The praises. I think KJV says the excellencies. You know, who is a KJV fan here? Anyway, you know, so what we should be known for praising the Lord. Do you understand? Amen. Praise unto God should be a top priority for us. Because we are the house of God. And in the house of God, sacrifices go on. And one of these is praising unto God. You know, praising Him. You see why? Because He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What He did for us was so awesome. We were going to hell. We were going to hell. You know, but then the Bible says He translated us from the kingdom of what? Of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son of His love. Glory be to God. You know, now we are in heaven. Amen. Now for that, He deserves praises. Hallelujah. As we worshiped, I was amazed. I think like three songs or what, we're all, you know, talking about that. You know, I bring an offering of worship to my King. You know, Then there was another one. Again, it was just that, you know, sacrifice, offering unto the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen? The other thing that the other spiritual sacrifice that we should give unto the Lord, we find it in Psalm 141 verse 2, which says that, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Amen? For those of you who get disturbed by being told to lift up holy hands, you know, one of the explanations is here. He says, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, Amen? The Jews, in the temple and in the days of Moses, they had two major sacrifices daily. There was a morning sacrifice, which they used to offer at 9. You know, guys would go to the temple what, and worship, you know, as that what offering was being done. A sacrifice at 9 a.m. Then there was an evening sacrifice, which used to happen at 3 p.m. That now might mean that evening starts at 3 p.m. By the way, do you know that the day starts in the evening? The day starts in the evening, according to God. Genesis says evening and morning, that was the first day. Evening and morning, that was the second day. Amen? But that's beside the point. But the day begins in the evening, according to God. According to you and your stupid teachers, it begins in the morning. Hallelujah. So it says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. And then He gave up the ghost at 3 p.m. You understand? So He's giving up, basically He died at 3 p.m. You know? So that was the evening sacrifice. Jesus' death was the evening sacrifice. So when we say, you know, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice, it is basically means you're praising God for what happened with the death of the Lord. You know, because when He gave up the ghost, do you know where He went? He went to hell. You understand? He went to hell for you. He went there that you might never go there yourself if you trust in Him. You understand? Now, when you, every time you lift holy hands unto the Lord, you're proclaiming that. You're praising Him for what happened. You're praising Him because He translated you from the kingdom of darkness, you know, and He ushered you into the kingdom of his dear son, the son of his love. You know, now, whatever, you know, this should always encourage you. You should lift up your hands as much as you can. When you tire, you put them down. But always get an excuse, get a reason to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Because you're proclaiming what the Lord did for you. Hmm? Glory be to God. Amen? You know, lifting up holy hands, it is a spiritual sacrifice, which should be in this house. Hallelujah. Like I told you, if you don't want it, go to Rachel's church. Where it's called St. Mark, whatever, that church in Ntinda. The St. Andrew, Bukoto, whatever, I said, I even don't know the whatever. Amen? I am an obby of St. what? St. Andrew's. Glory be to God. But I wasn't even born again. You know, we used to go there as kids. And as I was, you know, when I was very young, nursery, I loved God. God who I didn't know. I even used to go for evening services. Get what, like a hymn book, what, you know. Now, like I wasn't guided well. So by the time I reached like P6, P7, I was a rebel. You can't get me in church. So anyway, I remember one of the things my dad used to do to force me to be in church was he would give me his, those things, hymn book. And just to what are those things? So hold me, what? Hold for me. So we walked together from Bukoto up to St. What? And now I have the old man's book. Now you can't disappear. You know, you can't disappear. Amen? Yeah. I don't know how that story ended. I don't know how it ended. Hallelujah. Amen? But prior to him starting to force me to go to church, you know, by doing those tricks. There's a Christmas carol I wanted to attend. And then let me leave this story alone. It is the reason why some of you are here. Why I wanted to go for that Christmas carol. There was a certain young girl who was going to sing. Hallelujah. You know, that's the reason why some of you are here. Glory be to God. Amen. We have time. Yeah. Anyway, so, amen. You guys are very kind. So he says, let my prayer be set before you as what? Incense. You know, So another sacrifice is prayer. Because incense, by the way, incense, it used to be by any. One of the places it was in the temple was before you get into the Holy of Holies. You know, it was really the border between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies where only the high priest used to go once a year. You know, one of the things are incense. But now it says that, so prayer is one of the sacrifices. You know, let it be set before you, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Glory be to God. Amen. So one of the things LAT should be known for is prayer. Amen. Amen. We should be praying machines. Amen. Amen. There was a time when I was a fasting machine. You guys are there. Join us for what? To fast. But I also fasted, man. I used to fast at least a third of the year. I was this height. But I remember I used to weigh like 57 kgs on campus. Primarily, it was fasting. Amen? And awesome stuff happened. You know, for some reason, this church doesn't talk about fasting. Either the pastor is carnal. This church, people are worship, prayer, why, reading the why. You know, little mention is made of what? Or fasting, Amen? But anyway, maybe that is someone else's job. For me, my job is to teach other things. Amen? But fasting is great. Eh? Hmm? The first time I did a 40-day fast on campus, there's a thing called mufaring. Eh? Do you know mufaring? Mufaring was basically staying on campus illegally. Now, like, for example, anyway, so the term ends in your days. By the way, I'm very old. Eh? We are the last guys on term system. Now, that is a CV. We are the last guys on term. Because that's what term on campus eh, stopped with us. Now, that's a CV. Hallelujah. It is a CV. What else is a CV? What did you say? No Scott. Eh? Eh? We are the guys who entered in after that word, North Korea. After they checked everyone, we are the first chaps. You know, first year, eh? In fact, those days, it should be called, they wanted to deal away with that word, North Korea. So we entered in, and our admission, wherever, eh? It had whole X. Amen? Then a year also, you know, they now called it Unsevira. You know, CV, so, you know. Stupid CVs, eh? Hopeless, eh? Hallelujah. But what was I saying? Huh? Offering what? Mufaring. Yeah, so, I was, I think, either the end of third year, any Sam, either third year or fourth year, and I heard about these guys, Kayanjas, men of God, fasting 40 days. And I was like, I can do it also. I said, I can, you know, I can do it. So I began. Eh? I began. Now, I grew so small, eh? So thin, so extremely small, eh? That I even feared eh? Going back at home. I feared my appearance, you understand? Eh? But I was like, I have to finish this 40 days. You know, eh? One time, I remember around like the 35th day. Now, so I can't go home, so I am mufaring. Eh? Staying on campus illegally, man. Eh? Dodging the custodians, jumping over walls, you know. Eh? Fasting. Eh? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Eh? Yeah. So my main point, okay, I love God. Eh? I was fasting for God. Eh? But the major reason was that I can also do it. Hmm? So I remember 30, I felt sick, flu, I have to finish it. Eh? You know, eh? Then, so now you count. Now, anyway, so now I remember on the 40th day, morning, it's going to be you're excited because once again you're going to enjoy food like most kind of beings, eh? Like you. So, yeah, I was excited 40th day, you know, because eh? I was always counting, eh? You know, eh? So, man, then I remember, so that morning, I was in North Court, Mufaring. Eh? I was alone in the room. It was room 191 or 136. Then, man, as I'm waking out of bed, eh, you know, eh, I heard an audible voice. And the voice said what? That one had come earlier. I wasn't fasting. Eh? This one, the audible, alone in the room, eh, it said eh, that God jealously what you have received. Full stop. And God said, man, in this 40-day fast, you got something. Eh? God did jealously. Hmm? A year later, eh, I did another 40-day fast. Amen? Now, the end of that fast eh, got me on a mission ground eh, in Buvuma. You know, we had gone, I think, with main city guys, Buvuma Islands. Eh? We went on the boat, man. Man, being young is great. Eh? You know, some of these things that we're up to, they're just fake. Eh? I'm saying fake things. Eh? But somehow, God can't allow us to. So, you know, we went, man, island. Eh? Man, we almost, you know, eh? Yeah. In the dark, on the water. Eh? You sleep, man. I remember one night, two nights, eh? I slept in a hut, eh? A kahut. Eh? The hut is here, eh? The tabernacle, eh? The house of God. Eh? It's here, eh? And the shore is here. You know, I'm saying, but man, those were great days. Eh? I remember I got sick, eh? But anyway, the first, the 40th day found me there. So we wake up in the morning to pray, you know, as a group. Now, this is amazing. The leader of the prayer meeting, do you know the first thing he said when he opened his mouth? He spoke in Luganda. Remember, the first time the voice in my room said, God, jealousy, what you have received. Now, a year later, 40 days first, I didn't hear an audible voice. But the guy who was, Magola, is it? You know, remember, Brian? The first words that came out of his mouth were, Kuma echo chofunye. How many Baganda here, or how many of those who have been indoctrinated into the Buganda kingdom? You know, that's what the guy said. Basically saying what the Lord had told me, Now that just shows that God can use a human being as a mouthpiece. And the guy, after that, I talked to him. I was like, do you know what you're, the guy, he had no clue what he was saying. Now, that should encourage you. It should encourage some of you to go on a 40-day fast. Hallelujah. I have to do another one. Very soon. Glory be to God. Fasting is wonderful. There's something you can't achieve in the spirit. When you just want to look nice to your girlfriend, to look a hunk, what? But I was weighing 57 kgs. But for some reason, man, babes liked me. I'm telling you. You guys, you just see me here, these stories, these stories of babes, hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we're talking about fasting, Mufaring, we finished that. But anyway, the Bible says, Psalm 141 verse 2, says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We're talking about spiritual sacrifices which should be offered in our midst, as a church, as the house of God. We talked about praising the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. We've talked about prayer. Prayer should define us. Amen? Guys, come for prayer meetings on Thursday, if you can. Of course, there are some of you who can't. But I know some of you who say you can't. But when there is something else, like on a Thursday for something, you always have an excuse for that Thursday. But you have never made an excuse for prayer meetings on Thursday. But when there's something else, someone is waiting Thursday, somehow where you can, when will you ever, make an excuse? Make an excuse to come and pray. You look at people, the excuse, they don't do some things because they don't have time. But when there's something else on that day for something, they will create the time. So it's just hypocrisy. These things. Let me leave them alone. But I watch people. But you just leave it, because when you say this, you know the response. So you're like, useless. Amen. Revelations 5:8 says that now when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Pesh, why don't you stop coming for prayer? Collins came twice. Then, this is the beauty about small churches. You can, guys, man. OB, you've never come. Amen? Brian, 2 weeks ago, was asking me why his wife can't come. Now, he was asking me, the pastor, about his wife. Why can't my wife come? I told him, I think she's heavy. What? Then Then he said, but Claire is here. So Asha, I'm reporting you. Your husband said, but Claire is pregnant also, but she's here. Why can't my wife come? Now, how do you expect me to answer with things to do with your wife? Glory be to God. Amen. Sarah stays in Gaia's, that side. Sarah leaves BOU, she drives from BOU, they jam, one day, you know, then she gets here, then she has to drive, you know, Now some of you, and she has kids, Some of you, the reason you give is kids, you know, but can't you bring those kids here? When will the kids learn that, man, there's this thing called what? God praying, what? This is how we get revivals, when people start bringing kids, what? Mabagara, what? revival. Brenda, we last saw her last year. Hallelujah. Now, small churches. Now, this is what? There's someone who has excuses. I even won't mention what her name. She got a job, what now, you know? Hallelujah. Your husband, hey, boyfriend, sorry. You know, we last saw him when you were still here, before he went to the UK. There was a one Thursday he came around. I guess because of you when you left. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's do the what? The spiritual sacrifices. So he said, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Glory be to God. This is why you should pray. You know, it is important to God, and it benefits you. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen? You know, the interesting thing in the Bible, now concerning the other sacrifice that we should, basically, you know that worship is a sacrifice also. You know that. Genesis 22:5 says, talking about Abraham when he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Bible says, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. We'll go where? Yonder and do what? Worship. But you all know what he was going to do. He was going to murder his son. He was going to sacrifice his son. Amen? So now he calls sacrifice. He calls it worship. Meaning that worship is also sacrifice. And this is the first time worship is used in the Bible in reference to worship. Glory be to God. Again, earlier, we are the temple of the Lord. You know, we are a royal priesthood. In the house of God, those priests used to offer sacrifices. Amen. Now, even us, as a house of God, there are sacrifices expected of us. Amen. You know, praise, including lifting up holy hands, prayer, worship. Those things should be key. They should be major. Noon conferences, what? Conference, youth, why? All that nonsense. Those things are great, you understand? But man, people are just wasting people's time with those. Some of those things, what he said there is nonsense. Nonsense. Amen? But somehow people are looking for progi, today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what is on Wednesday, what, you know. People are just, you know, there's something driving people, and it's a devil. Amen? Useless things, but people just can't sit somewhere and just focus on God. Amen? Hebrews 13:16, another sacrifice. The Bible says, do not forget to do good. And to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So sharing, which is what? You guys are the best man. When I was surprised the other week, I found out that Rachel listens to my sermons. She said something, I was like, you mean you listen to my sermons on Sunday? You know, I was shocked. Anyway, but sharing, giving is a sacrifice. You know, pleasing to the Lord. So you see how important giving is, sharing is. It is not like a light thing. So that means that you should always look out for opportunities to share. Look out for opportunities to offer the sacrifice of sharing, of giving. Giving is not a light thing. It is important to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? Amen. Man, this church, there are guys, people I know, man, for some reason you wonder where they got this idea of giving. Where they got that revelation. Many of you, by the way, you sit back and you're like, where did guys get this thing from? Hallelujah. Like George's girlfriend. Judith, when she was in the UK, she used to send money to LAT, man. But there was a time when Rachel and I, we needed to do something, and it needed a certain amount of money, and we had like 150K, and I told her, the money is coming, Then she texts me later, and she said, Judith has sent us money. I asked her how much, the exact amount that we needed. Just to keep on sending money once, almost every month, I guess. I don't know, but almost every month. Now, this is like a student, like a black student. You even wonder whether she's black. Even her tribe, she even doesn't know her tribe. But anyway, and I guess that's one of the reasons why, what? Leicester, that cartoon. That's why he took the cup. Because she was in that city. Actually, she was doing some part-time I had, like for the club, some kawak. And she was sending sacrifices to LAT. And Leicester took a cup. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Olive, where's Olive? I saw her somewhere. Olive, when she was in the US, she wasn't as like Judith, but she used to send money sometimes also. I'm talking about most of you. Obviously, like any church, it can't be everyone. But it's true. But most of you, now that is well pleasing unto the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, God, he told me to emphasize this sacrifice of giving, of sharing. I mean, it is very pleasing. In addition to the other things, prayer, praise, worship, fasting, 40 days. Hallelujah. People are very stupid. People are very what? I remember we had just gotten married. And some people excellent. Now you guys are very what? In the spirit. So some people got a revelation that what? Geraldine has married a guy who's always fasting. Now these stupid people. Anyway, let me leave them alone. Because of the stupid things which they said. Against fasting. Hallelujah. But anyway, concerning giving, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 11, it says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Then he says that may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the what? The fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. Amen? That's what happens when you engage, you know, this sacrifice of giving. It is a spiritual sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord. Glory be to God. There was a group of fellows, the Philippians. They used to give to Paul, you know. And Paul said in Philippians 4:18, he tells them that I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Hallelujah. You guys, to be honest with you, I want to be the greatest worshiper of God. I'm very serious. Amen. That is one of, to me, that is the most important benefit, you know, that I derive from my car. You know, most people want cars for shopping, Baba, you know, but for me, man, a car. Because in the car, you know, there's a player there, I bought what they hope for, you know, and I have a flash with I don't know how many songs. Glory be to God. If you ever take away that car from me, man, that is, it will be the greatest car, you know, not having a car where I can, wherever put in, will sit in there, put up the windows, put on AC, and just get carried away in the Lord. There is absolutely no reason why, you know, I don't know, this David, King David, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't outdo him. He died, the guy died. You understand? Now you're living, you have a chance to do greater than what David did concerning worshiping the Lord. Amen? The other thing, I want to be the best at, but I'm afraid that I might not be. The way you get operating, I'm afraid I might not be. It's giving. I want to be the greatest giver. I'm talking about money. You know, I don't want to be the person who has the most stuff. That is so shallow. So, you know, you're there, you're known as the person who has the most cars and so on. You know, what about being known as someone who had one car or two cars because you gave away the other 1,000 cars? Do you understand now? What is better if you're spiritual? I can see you guys are not yet there. You first want to have 1,000 cars. Then now you can start to do it, you know. You know, in fact, I'm beginning to wonder what is the definition of what the wealthiest according to heaven. I don't. Now I'm beginning to. Who does, when God looks down on the earth, who does he call the wealthiest? Does he call the wealthiest the one who has the most things, the most cars, the most money in the bank account? According, because look at Jesus. We all know Jesus had it all. But how many assets did Jesus leave behind? What did he have? In fact, there was a time when they came to get tax money from him and he didn't have it. He didn't have it, but he wasn't broke. But he could get it when he needs it. He told Peter, go, the first fish you get, open its mouth, and shoo, and pay them. But Jesus had nothing. But we all know he was the wealthiest. He owned it all. Amen? But God wants you to have stuff. Please don't get me wrong. He wants you to have stuff. And you need him for that, eh? Not but for right reasons, eh? Hallelujah. But in the meantime, major on the majors, eh? Major on the sacrifice of giving. Eh? Hmm? That which Paul said, it is a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Amen. Remember, you are the temple of the Lord. And in the temple of the Lord, and you are priests, royal priests. And in the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the priests used to offer sacrifices. So continually offer those sacrifices. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of worship, the sacrifice of prayer, the sacrifice of giving, in addition to other things, which might include fasting. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.